According to reports, the waves were 15 to 20 feet high. The wind speed reached 235 miles an hour. And they estimate that 10,000 people have died. Of course, the Philippines is a mainly Roman Catholic country. I don't know whether you realize, but every year at Easter time, Roman Catholics will crucify themselves to commemorate Good Friday. I actually have seen pictures of it where you've got men who are dressed up like the Roman soldiers, like the centurions, and they actually take these Roman Catholic people and they literally nail them to these crosses. And the nails are hammered through their hands and through their feet. And these people are hung up on the cross every year on Good Friday. And of course, as far as they're concerned, it's penance and it's pleasing God, and it will help them one day to be forgiven and to enter into heaven. We know that that's not true. We know that salvation is by grace and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's so sad to see the influence of Roman Catholicism in the Philippines and people who are doing what Christ did. You know, thinking that they have to add to his finished work. How sad. Oh, we need to pray for that land. Of course, the Philippines is a place of great persecution. Many, many Christians have been persecuted. They're still being persecuted to this day. And it's mainly Islam that's the persecutor. Muslim terrorists and Muslim militants are persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ in the Philippines even today. And we need to pray for the Christians there. The Bible teaches us to remember those who are persecuted and to pray for them. You may have heard of Martin Burnham, Gracia Burnham. They were missionaries with New Tribes Mission to the Philippines, and they were taken captive by Islamic terrorists. And eventually the U.S. forces made an attempt to rescue them, but in the gun battle, Martin Burnham was killed. He was shot dead in the crossfire. And his wife, of course, was rescued. She was brought back to the United States of America from the Philippines. And the news reporters started to ask questions, and they said to her, Do you never sit down sometimes and think to yourself, why me? Why me? You know what she said? Yes, I do many, many times. I sit down and I say, Lord, why me? Lord, why did you allow me to be born in a Christian country? Lord, why did you bless me with Christian parents? Lord, why did you cause me to be born in a land where there are churches and gospel halls and places where we can hear about Christ? Lord, why did you bless me in such a tremendous way? Yes, there are many times that I say, Lord, why me? That was a good answer. Rather than complaining against the Lord, she thanked God for her blessings. Of course, there was a book printed in the presence of mine enemies, and you can still get that book today. I'm sure the story of Martin and Gracia Burnham, the missionaries to the Philippines. But we remember today Danny and Philippa Brooks from our own denomination in the Philippines, and they arrived safely back in Manila, the capital, on Wednesday past, and it's our duty to pray for them. Wasn't it William Carey, the missionary, who said, I'll go if you'll hold the ropes. I'll go if you hold the ropes. And that's what we've got to do for Danny and Philippa and their two little children as they go back to the Philippines to reach the lost. Of course, there's other missionaries and other workers that are out there, you may have heard of Gareth McDowell, who used to work in Every Home Crusade. Gareth is a missionary out there. You'll know of the Tinsleys. You remember Joanna was here last December for the ladies' meeting. Well, Colin and Joanna were out in the Philippines when the storm struck. Now, we thank God that they were spared and that they're safe. But let's continue to pray for them and to pray that if they're not home yet, that the Lord would bring them safely home. But what a terrible event it was. Friday, the 8th of November, whenever that typhoon, they call it Haiyan, isn't it? Or in the Philippines, Yolanda. That terrible typhoon struck the land of the Philippines. You know, one person, one eyewitness said, the sound of the wind was like a screaming woman. That's the words he used. It sounded like a screaming woman. My, the power of nature, or perhaps we should say the power of the God of nature. You see, the Bible says that he walks upon the wings of the wind. He flies upon the wings of the wind. The Bible tells us that he's the one who is in control of the wind. Well, let's come today to think about the storm that we read of in Matthew chapter 14. And this is the second storm that the disciples are in. The first storm was whenever Jesus was asleep in the boat. Remember, Jesus went into the boat with the disciples and he went down into the ship and he fell asleep, the Bible tells us. And then, of course, the storm brewed up and the disciples went to Jesus and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The disciples jumped the gun. They were impatient. You know, sometimes we're like that, isn't it? We think that we have to go to the Lord and waken him up. Lord, you need to do something. Lord, you need to move. You need to save. Lord, hurry up. We're impatient. But you know, the Lord is never late. He's always on time. His timing is perfect. So there was that first storm with the Savior asleep in the boat, and Jesus was with them in the storm. But in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus isn't in the boat. He's not with them in the storm. It's just the disciples in the ship, and the Lord Jesus is on the land. They were in the midst of the storm, and it felt that Jesus wasn't with them. Although, of course, he had his eye upon them. He knew exactly what was happening from the mountainside as he prayed. But the disciples, you can just imagine them, and they're in the storm, and the waves are coming into the boat, and they're thinking to themselves, and maybe they're crying out, if only the Lord was with us. If only we had his presence in this storm. Do you ever feel like that as a Christian? Do you ever feel you're going through the storm, whether it's the storm of sorrow or pain, family problems, persecution, and you're going through the storm and it feels as if the Lord is nowhere to be found. It feels as if the Lord has forsaken you. Have you ever been there? Well, I think we've all been there. Every Christian has that experience. But the reality is that he is with us. He's always with his people because he lives in us. How could he not be with us if he lives in us? Everywhere we go, no matter what we go through, Jesus Christ is with us because Christ liveth in me, the apostle said. So here we have this storm, the second storm that the disciples are caught up in. And you know, I want us to think about four assurances that we have. Four assurances that the Lord would give to us today as we go through the storms of life. Because perhaps you're in the middle of a storm right now. If you're not, someday you will be. or maybe you've just come out of a storm. But as Christians, we will inevitably experience storms on the way to heaven. We're like the disciples in the boat. We're on a journey. We're crossing over the sea of life. We're going to the other shore, to heaven, to our eternal home. But as we journey across the sea, as it were, there's the storms. So four assurances that the Lord would give to us. The first one is this: Jesus allows the storms to come into our lives. Remember that. Jesus allows the storms. He permits the storms to come into our lives. In fact, there's times whenever He plans that a storm will come into our lives. You see, we read here in Matthew 14, verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into the ship." You know that word constrained? It means that Jesus drove them, as it were. He compelled them. He told them. He commanded them to get into the ship. You see, the disciples, they wanted to stay on that side of the lake because the Lord Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and they were taken with the hysteria of it all, and the multitude wanted to make Jesus a king and to make Him the ruler. And the Lord Jesus saw the danger of that situation, and so He tells the disciples to go to the other side, even though they did not want to go. There's a story told of a little boy going to Sunday school one day, and he arrived late. Of course, the teacher asked him, "Well, sonny, why were you late?" The wee boy said, "Well, I stopped to help an old lady across the road." "Well, sure, that didn't take very long. What kept you? Why are you so late?" "Well, because she didn't want to cross the road." And he was late. But you see, here we find these disciples. And I suppose in a sense you could say they're a bit like that lady, that old lady. That old lady didn't want to cross the road. The disciples, they didn't want to cross the lake. They were quite happy just to be in the midst of the crowd and to stay on that side of the lake. But Jesus had a plan. He had a purpose. And He sent them right into the eye of the storm. Right into the storm on the Sea of Galilee. It was a test. It was a test for the disciples. You know, the Lord had a plan for these disciples, that their faith would be strengthened, that they would realize, as a result of the storm, that they would realize who Jesus was, that they would get a better understanding of the Savior. The Lord had a test for them, but He meant to bless them through this test. And you know, every storm that the Lord allows to come into our lives, there's a reason for it, there's a purpose for it, and the Lord wants to bless us and to make us stronger Christians through it. Someone has said, today's test is tomorrow's testimony. Today's test is tomorrow's testimony. So here's the first great assurance that comes to us as we go through the storms of life. Jesus allows the storms to come in to our lives. Secondly, I want you to notice Jesus is always praying for us in the storms. He is always praying for us. Whenever we are in the place of peril, Jesus is in the place of prayer. What a contrast, by the way, you have between these two locations. You see, you've got the disciples, they're in the midst of the sea. And Jesus, He's on the land, up on the mountainside praying. Probably, I don't know, maybe 2, 3, 4 miles away from the disciples. But He's praying for them. And even though they're separated physically from their Lord, yet the Lord is in full control of the situation, and he's overlooking the storm, and he sees the disciples in the midst of the storm. They can't see him, but he can see them. Isn't that like what it's like for us today? We can't see Jesus in heaven at God's right hand today. He's there, but we can't see him with the physical eye. But thank God he can see us. Jesus Christ, the one whose eyes are like fire. His eyes can see us today. He sees his children as they go through the storms. And if you're going through a storm today and you're discouraged and you just feel like giving up, remember his eyes are upon you. Jesus was interceding for his children. The Bible says that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. The Lord Jesus is never taken by surprise, you know, by the storms that come into our lives. Sometimes we think that it's out of control, that the Lord has been taken by surprise by some circumstance or some situation that comes into our lives. I want to tell you that the Lord is never taken by surprise. And he is praying for his people as they go through the storms. And wasn't it old Robert Murray McShane who said, if I could hear Jesus praying in the next room, I wouldn't have a fear. But even though he's not in the next room, even though he's in heaven's glory, he's still praying for me. It doesn't make any difference. I will not fear. You know, thank God today we don't have to fear. Even we're in the midst of the storm. Spiritually speaking, just like the people in the Philippines were in the midst of that terrible typhoon, if you're in the midst of the storm today, remember, your Savior is praying for you. It's good that other Christians pray for you, but even if they never prayed for you, there's always someone who will pray for you, your Savior. So as you go through the storm, remember that the Savior has allowed it to come into your life. Secondly, that he is praying for you. Thirdly, that he will come to you in his own time. That he will come to your aid, that he will come to your relief in his own perfect time and in his own perfect way. You see, you'll notice here that the Lord Jesus walks on the water to the disciples. We're told there in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Why didn't Jesus just appear on the ship? Because he did that in the upper room after he rose from the dead. You remember the doors were locked and Jesus just appeared by his almighty power. He appeared to the disciples. Well, why did he not do that in this situation? Why was it that Jesus walked across the waves? Well, of course, it was to display his power as the Creator. But I believe that there was another reason for it. You see, the waves became a pavement, you could say. Not literally, of course, but because of the almighty power of Christ, the waves, the sea, it became like concrete. Just like a pavement, just like a footpath. And it brought the Savior to the disciples. It brought him closer to the disciples. You know, friends, the storms of life will always bring Jesus closer to us. He will mean more to us. Are you going through the typhoon today? I don't know what it is, but the Lord does. And even in the midst of your spiritual storm, your relationship with Christ can grow, and he can become more precious to you, and he can become closer than ever he has been before. You can feel his nearness. You can know his sweet presence as you go through the storm. Yes, this storm brought Jesus close to the disciples. Of course, the storm should bring us closer to him. And you'll notice that Peter got closer to Christ, because we read there in verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come." And then it tells us, of course, that Peter, he put his leg out over the boat and he stepped down onto the water. And you can just imagine the other disciples, "Oh, would you look at this lunatic? What's he up to now?" They thought Peter, they always thought he was impulsive. "He's crazy, this boy. Look what he's up to now. He's getting out of the boat. He's a madman." Well, actually, he wasn't a madman. He wasn't a lunatic, because he was able to walk on the water. The Lord, by his mighty power, enabled Peter to walk across the waves. The Lord Jesus Christ performed a mighty miracle here. The fact that he walked on the water, but also the fact that he made it possible for Peter to walk on the water. And you see, because of this storm that night on the Sea of Galilee, Peter got closer to Christ. You know, that should be the aim and the desire of every Christian, that we would come to know Christ in a more intimate way. And how does that happen? Well, yes, it happens through the storm, but let's be specific. How do you get closer to Christ? You get closer to him as you study the Word, as you study the Scriptures, as you read about him, as you talk to him in prayer. And I know life's busy. Life can be so busy. And you know it can be hard. You've got days where it's just hectic, and it can be hard to just get away to a quiet place, a quiet corner to talk with your Lord. But oh, it's so important. Particularly in the storms of life. And as we study the Scriptures, as we come to the house of God, to the Bible studies, and we learn more about our Savior, we can get closer to him even if the tempest is raging. I want you to notice finally, not only are we assured that Jesus allows the storms to come into our lives, and that he's praying for us, and that he will come to us in his own time and in his own way. But I want you to notice, finally, that the storms of life can bring us to Christ. Now, I'm talking here to those in the congregation this morning who are not yet saved. Because sometimes the Lord sends storms into the lives of lost souls in order that they would come to Christ. And we've been listening to the Reverend Dickinson preach for the last 2 weeks, inviting people to come to Christ. And we're praying that souls will come to him. But let me ask you, have you come to him? Have you obeyed the Lord? Have you copied Peter? Have you did what Peter did? Have you stepped out of the ship to go to Christ? It takes courage. And Peter, the Lord gives him courage and enables him to step out over the edge of the boat. And he makes his way to the Savior. You know, the Bible teaches us that the Lord is the one who makes it possible to come to the Savior. He's the one who gives us the strength to come to Christ. The Bible says we're without strength, Romans chapter 5. We can't come to the Savior in our own strength. It's only as he enables us, it's only as he gives us that ability to come and trust Christ that we'll ever be saved. And so the storm can bring us to Christ. Peter just cried out, "Lord, save me." And you know, I don't think he whispered it. As he took his eyes off Christ, as he began to sink down into a watery grave, he cried out, "Lord, save me." You could have probably nearly heard him on the shore. He was earnest. He was desperate. He was genuine. And it was just three words. But if you'll pray those same three words today, you'll be saved. You don't even have to wait to 3:30. Because you mightn't be back at 3:30. Because your life could have ended. Christ could have come. We mightn't even have a final mission service if the Lord breaks through the blue. Don't wait. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait another second. You do what Peter did all those years ago. You come to Christ. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that salvation is of the Lord. And we pray for anyone, Lord, in the service this morning and they're not born again. Oh Lord, they may have a form of godliness, but Lord, they know that it's a sham. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll help them today to come to Christ and to get reality. So we just want to pray, Lord, you'll bless your people as they go through the storms of life. And Lord, we pray you will uphold them and help them and give them the grace that they need. And Lord, we do pray that you'll even remember the land of the Philippines today. Lord, we think of the people there. Our hearts go out to them. Oh, Lord, will you step into that terrible situation? For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Final hymn is number 465. 465. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. 465, and we're just going to sing the first verse in the chorus.